Welcome back to the Playbook Podcast. You're their host, Kyle Stout. Another host,
Garrett Burkle.
So, Garrett, March Madness is finally here. The brackets released Sunday. We have some very, very interesting matchups to kind of go over. Mm-hmm. Overall, pretty good brackets.
Yeah, it is.
I like the matchups a lot.
For sure.
I think some teams got snubbed, like Clemson, Rutgers. But at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Rutgers got absolutely.
I think they did, too. Yeah.
They should have been in the tournament. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I get they had three quad three losses, which isn't good.
But I think they had four quad three losses.
Was it four? Yeah.
But at the same time, you look at a team like Kentucky who has a home quad four loss. An away quad three loss.
That's true.
Two quad two losses, one at home, one neutral court. So it's like, I mean, obviously Kentucky's in, but they're a six seed, and Rutgers doesn't make it. You know, they have an away win, quad one win, very high quad one win at Purdue, and they don't get in.
That's true. And, I mean, they even held Purdue, they lost to them by five on a neutral court. And yeah, I thought at that
Big
point.
Big Ten tournament, I thought they should for sure be in.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I totally agree.
I don't like Nevada getting in over them at all. I don't like Mississippi State getting in over them at all, especially in a very weak SEC. So, you know, I don't know. But did they accept an invitation to the NIT?
I'm not for sure. I know North Carolina did not.
I don't know if Villanova has yet.
I'm not for sure there. But, yeah, I mean, I don't understand the whole Rutgers thing at the end of the day. I mean, again, they had such good wins on paper. And I think it was, you know, honestly, I think it was crap that they got left off. Like Illinois, I think Rutgers at the end of the day is a better team than Illinois, even though Illinois beat them head to head. But I, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
Same thing with Pitt, like an ACC team.
Nevada getting in is
wild. Pitt getting in is pretty bad. I don't like. And then for Clemson, I don't like that NC State gets in over Clemson there.
No, I mean,
Clemson
agree.
Beat them in the regular season. I think three times.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's like, I don't understand a lot. I like the overall brackets. I like the overall matchups. They have a lot of fun matchups. But the bubble, I don't know. I didn't agree with the bubble this year. But no further ado, I'm going to go over the highs and lows of every team in the tournament. Not the highs and lows, the ceilings. Mm-hmm. And probably just the ceilings there. So Alabama, they're definitely a national title contender. They've proved all year that they're a very good squad. They're a very good coach team in Nate Oates. Brandon Miller's proved that he's one of the best basketball players in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue there is he's a freshman, you know, maybe some freshman experience. They could get caught up with a team like, I think they could get caught up with a team like San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
I think San Diego State defends the ball very well. They could definitely get caught up in the Elite Eight with teams like Creighton, Baylor, Arizona. But overall, I like this bracket a lot for Alabama, and I think they will make the Final Four. I think they will.
Yeah,
their ceiling is definitely a national title mm-hmm. contender.
Correct.
Maryland and West Virginia, I think those are two very solid teams. Maryland at the Big Ten, West Virginia at the Big 12. I think both their ceilings are round of 32. I don't see them upsetting Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
At all. They're solid. I would like West Virginia more in an upset there just because of the fact that they did play in the Big 12.
Yeah, that's what I had.
They've played a lot of great teams. Mm-hmm. Maryland, they've proved they can play with the top dogs.
That's
but
true.
But overall.
Maryland's just so hit or miss, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know.
I don't know about them. San Diego State, I could definitely see San Diego State making an Elite Eight run if they can upset mm-hmm. Bama the Sweet 16. They just defend the ball so well. They have a tough first-round matchup. It's a 5-12 against Charleston, but I'll talk about this a little later in the podcast. I think I would easily have San Diego State there in a game against Charleston. The fact that they defend the three so well, Charleston's not a great three-point shooting team. San Diego State, as of recent, has really impressed me a lot.
Yeah, I actually had Charleston winning that game, but again, if San Diego's, I mean, obviously I could see San Diego State winning it, but I just kind of wanted an upset, so I did pick Charleston because I think Charleston could score the ball at a high rate. And again, you don't know what you're going to get out of these mid-majors. I mean, this is most for some of them, you know, this is, you know, their chance to shine in the tournament. So that's the only reason why I had Charleston. But again, I mean, I think San Diego State is a pretty solid team. So
yeah, for sure.
We just don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, and then Charleston, I think their ceiling is definitely Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said that I would take San Diego State, but if they can win that, I think that Furman's going to upset Virginia is what I have. And so I think, you know, in that situation, they could definitely beat Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Even Virginia, I don't like Virginia this tournament. I think they're too inconsistent.
Yeah.
So I think Charleston's ceiling is definitely Sweet 16. I have the same ceiling for Virginia because, you know, if they do get there, then there's no way they beat Bama.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I think Virginia is definitely solid. But too inconsistent to make a real run for me. Furman, I think they have a Sweet 16 ceiling as well. So those are kind of three teams there I have as Sweet 16 ceilings. Creighton, I have as a Final Four kind of contender there.
Yeah.
They rank top 40 in KenPom defense and top 22 in offense, or I might have those mixed up, but one of the two. And a lot of the national title a lot of the national title contenders every year are kind of in that range in the KenPom.
Yeah, that's true. For Virginia,
I think the one exception is UConn in 2014.
UConn, I don't know. Or sorry, not UConn. Virginia, I'm just not. I don't know. I'm not sold on them personally. I think they played in a weak conference. I think the ACC is pretty weak.
That's why I'm not betting on any ACC team except Duke right now.
I'm not even betting
and
on
even
Duke.
And even Duke, it's kind of questionable. But
yeah, so I really don't know what the deal is with Virginia. I could definitely, you know, see them. I think they will get past the first round. I actually think that they'll get to the Sweet 16 because, again, I had Charleston over San Diego State. But at the same time, you know, we really just don't know. So that's going to be an interesting thing to me. Could Virginia maybe make an Elite Eight run? I could see it, but at the same time, I'm not too sure.
I don't know. Yeah. But where do you see Creighton landing, though? I think they are very talented. They are very big. We got the opportunity to see them play this year in person. They're just so good. They have Nimbard, the point guard there, brother of Pacers player Andrew Nimbard. But he is a very solid guard. They have a lot of size down low. I think they can compete with about anybody because of that size. And in this bracket, I could see them beating Alabama in the Elite Eight. I really could.
Had them in the Elite Eight losing to Bama.
I'm going back and forth on if I want to pick Creighton or Bama, but I do have that Elite Eight matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, they are just such a good team.
They're so hit or miss, though.
They are very hit or miss, but recently they've been playing very good.
That's
recently.
True. Well, they ended the season off kind of rough. They had a couple losses.
They ended the season off. They were very similar to how Kentucky ended the season. They started off pretty poorly. I think they were 11-8 after that game at Butler. And then they went on a big winning streak. But around the end of the season, they dropped a game. They dropped games in the Big East tournament. So, yeah, they've dropped some games for sure. But I'm still pretty confident in them.
No, I do agree with you because, again, I think Creighton, when they're on, I think they can beat pretty much anyone in the country. But at the same time, like, you know, if when their guards are on, again, I really do think they're one of the best teams in the country. But when they're not, I mean, I'm not too sold on them. So, again, that's something that I'm not too sure on. So, yeah.
And then
I think they're also, sorry not to interrupt, but I think they have a great coach in Greg McDermott as well. Again, he doesn't have that big march like some of the like Matt Painter. He doesn't have that big march in him. But at the same time, again, I think this is a pretty good shot for Creighton to make a huge run in the tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Then NC State, I think their ceiling's round of 32, maybe Sweet 16. I just because of the win they've had over Duke this year.
I can't see
them getting far. I really can't see them getting out of the first round, but it is ceiling, and it, you know.
Right, I think. Yeah, I agree. I think their ceiling's around Sweet 16. I wouldn't expect much more out of it, but I do think Creighton's ceiling there is Final Four to national title game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Baylor. I really am not too high on Baylor right now. The way they've been playing, their ceiling for sure is Final Four.
Yeah.
They're proved this season they've been very talented, but they have a very tough first round matchup against UC Santa Barbara in a game that I actually have UC Santa Barbara winning, just because of the fact that they're such a good defensive team. Baylor has not been playing well recently, but we'll see how that ends up there. UC Santa Barbara, though, I think their ceiling is Sweet 16. If they can beat Baylor, I think they could upset either Creighton or NC State as well. Just because of the fact they are so good on the defensive end, that's very important in March.
Yeah.
Missouri, Missouri has been kind of hit or miss this year as well. They started off the season great. They had a home win against Kentucky. Then they kind of dropped some games. They did just beat Tennessee in the SEC tournament, though. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Missouri's a team that I look at. I don't see them getting past the round of 32. I think that's their ceiling. I don't think either them or Utah State, even though they're two very good quality teams, I don't see them upsetting Arizona.
I actually disagree with that. I think Missouri scores the ball at a high rate. I think they're like they're top 10 in
KPI. They average 79.5 points a game, which is great. It's just they don't have great defense.
That is very.
And I value defense a lot in March. And when you're going against a team like Arizona, possibly in the round of 32, Arizona's a team that's averaging 82.7 a game.
That's true.
Only giving up 71.5, which is a lot better than Missouri. Mm-hmm. So, you know, upsets obviously happen. Anything could happen in March, but I would definitely take Arizona there. Yeah. I think I could see Arizona going pretty far this year.
No, I agree with that. I do agree with that.
But yeah, speaking on Arizona, I think they're I think they could be a national title contender for sure. Mm-hmm. Just they score the ball so well. If they play good defense on any given night, they can definitely outscore the opponent. They have a tough first round matchup against Princeton. I think Princeton's a bit underseeded as mm-hmm. a 15. Them and Yale are always pretty solid in March, out of the Ivy League. But I think I would have Arizona going pretty far. Moving down to the East region, we have Purdue starting off as a one seed. I think it was a bit of a surprise that they were one seed. I thought UCLA would get that, but I guess
after UCLA Big lost, Ten championship, yeah.
They slotted Purdue in there as would that be the worst one seed?
They're the number four overall one seed.
So, but they have a tough bracket. I think the East is very tough. The East is very hit or miss. You have a lot of teams that can go out there and win on any given night, but could also lose on any given night.
Yeah, see, and I think that's what it boils down to. Because again, I think I think when Purdue's on, they're one of the best teams in the country. But again, their guard play has not been that great. You've had a great boost off the bench with David Jenkins Jr. as of late, but at the same time, like if Purdue doesn't bring their A game, I agree. They could definitely lose in the second round.
They have a very tough second round matchup, no matter who it is.
Yeah, that's
Memphis
true.
Memphis has proved that they can play with a lot of teams. You know, they beat Houston in the conference tournament in the championship.
Interesting about Memphis is Memphis has one quad one win, and it's against Houston, which is a great win nonetheless. But it's without one of Houston's best players.
It's just no. They beat Texas A&M and they beat Auburn too.
Yeah, but I think those win as quad two wins.
I think Texas A&M was quad one.
It was quad two.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, just again, it's gonna be tough for Purdue to, you know, be able to beat Memphis. The one thing they have going for them is Memphis doesn't have much size. They have a couple 6'10" guys, so I don't know how they would handle ED there. But again, if their guard plays on and ours is off, I could definitely see a potential upset there.
Yeah.
I think this tournament really depends on a few things for Purdue. I think it's, you know, how their guards play, especially Fletcher Lawyer.
X-Factor is going to be Mason Gillis, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think Mason's still going to get you the points off the bench regardless. Yeah. I think Fletcher Lawyer is a guy that really needs to step it up.
If he steps up, I can see Purdue making an Addy run.
I agree with you.
Completely honest.
I agree with you.
If Purdue had Ivy this year, if they had that mm-hmm. experience, no doubt they'd be my national champion.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's just the fact that you have two freshman guards in March, that just scares me away from giving them a big run. They could definitely go on a run. I think Braden Smith is very solid.
Yeah, he's been, but the other thing about Purdue is they're so bad against the press.
That's where their inexperience is going to show. Awful. I mean, like in any given game, Zach Edey's going to keep them in the game. Mm-hmm. There's very few people out there, very few teams out there that can guard Edey. I think maybe one of those being Creighton with their size. I think if Purdue ran into Oral Roberts, they could have some troubles down low. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously Zach Edey's still going to produce. It's just their guard play. But, yeah, for sure I'd say Purdue, their ceiling is definitely a national title.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing about Purdue, and again, I'm really talking about Fletcher Lawyer here, is Lawyer's last four games against Illinois, he had 4 points, 0-3 from the three-point line. Against Rutgers, he had 4 points, 0-2 from the three-point line. Against Ohio State, he was 1 of 3 from three, had 3 points, and then against Penn State, he was 1 of 4 from three with 4 points. you cannot score 4, 4, 3, and 4 in your in tournament March, games. Yeah. Absolutely cannot. Again, he had some quad injury middle of February, around there. But at the same time, like, you need more production out of him. He has a week to prepare. He has a week to get ready. So I think if Lawyer can get back to, you know, even scoring, you know, 10-plus a game, I think Purdue can make a deep run. And, again, David Jenkins Jr. is the other guy I look at. He's been on fire as of recently. And, again, if he can get you, you know, around, you know, 8 to 10 a game off the bench, I think Purdue's in really good shape. It just, honestly, it just depends on Fletcher Lawyer for me.
Yeah, for sure. And then Memphis and Florida Atlantic is one of the most intriguing round of 64 games that I've seen in a while. They're both two firepower offenses, Memphis averaging 79.8 a game, FAU averaging 78.8. FAU plays great defense, averaging, letting up only 65 a game. Memphis a little worse there, or letting up 71.9. These are two very talented teams that can win on any given night.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, I would take Memphis here just because of the experience of good teams they've played. They beat Houston once. They've lost at Alabama only by 3 points. They beat Texas A&M by 4 and Auburn by 9.
Correct.
They have a lot of good wins there. But FAU kind of has that, like, Cinderella vibe to their team.
Yeah,
they're 31-3 this year, dominated their conference. They could definitely come in and win.
No, but I agree.
I think if they win, there's no chance of them upsetting Purdue, if I'm being completely honest. But if Memphis does, that's a intriguing game with mm-hmm. them and Purdue.
No, I agree.
So both Memphis and FAU definitely have that Sweet 16 Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Memphis has Elite Eight potential, maybe even Final Four. I could definitely see it. FAU is around the Sweet 16 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on down to Duke. Duke has a very, very tough first-round matchup. A lot of these higher seeds, I want to say higher seeds, but the better seed have tough first-round matchups in the East region,
mm-hmm.
Duke being one of them. Oral Roberts has Max Abrams back this year, you know, from that 15-seed team back a couple years ago, mm-hmm. made the Sweet 16. They have that big guy, big center. Do you remember where he transferred from?
Arkansas. Vancouver,
yeah.
I think is his name.
But they have a lot of size down low. I think they could compete with Duke. You saw earlier in the season Duke get dominated on a neutral court by Zach Edey and Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
They don't defend size as well. You know, granted, Kyle Filipowski and Derek Lively are playing a lot better at this point in the season, more experienced, but that's still two freshmen guarding a big guy down low. I don't see Oral Roberts pulling off this upset. It's going to be tough, but I do see Duke going pretty far in this tournament. They've been hot recently, just won the ACC. They're one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in the country. So I think the ceiling for Duke is definitely Final Four,
mm-hmm.
To national title. I think the ceiling for if I'm giving someone a Final Four, like, I think that they can definitely get past the Final Four. You know, if you get to that point in the tournament, it's you win two games, you win it all. So mm-hmm. I'll give Duke the Final Four. They could definitely win it all. Oral Roberts, if they can somehow get past Duke, though, they are definitely Elite Eight.
I say Sweet 16.
Team. Yeah. Sweet 16 or Elite Eight type of team. You've seen them go on the run before. I think that Max Abrams could be a lot to handle if they get to the Sweet 16 for a Purdue team with freshman guards.
That's what else is interesting is that I just thought of this. Duke and Oral Roberts, again, you've seen Duke have trouble with big guys and size. And, again, they have Vancouver, which I totally forgot about. So I don't want to pick the upset, but that's something that could really happen. Again,
that's something to watch.
But. Yeah. Again, I'm sure Duke centers have got a lot better since they played Purdue. But at the same time, again, they don't really handle size well. So
I also don't think Vancouver's that huge of a presence. In all honesty, he's definitely a great player, but it's not like you're going against a Zach Edey, Oscar Tshiebwe mm-hmm. type player.
That's true. But still, I mean, he's 7'5". I mean, again, we you know just historically, Duke's had trouble, you know, with size. Like when they played Taco Fall in 2019. You saw what happened there. So, again, I'm not calling the upset by any means, but, you know, it could happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then moving on to the 4-seed, Tennessee. Tennessee just lost to Kai Ziegler. I don't know. He might be out for the whole tournament. I haven't seen the details for that. That's huge for them. That's a big loss there. Tennessee has not impressed me late. They haven't impressed me at all this season. They got that win against Bama, but they really haven't shown me that they can go far in the NCAA tournament this year. I just don't know about them. I think their ceiling is definitely Sweet 16, but I don't think anywhere past that. And I think they would definitely lose to Duke in the round of 32. Louisiana. Louisiana could definitely it could be an upset watch there in the first round. It's just I'm not confident at all in Louisiana to do anything.
No, I agree.
I think Tennessee will, without Ziegler, will still get past them at least. Moving on to maybe the most intriguing first-round matchup, Kentucky and Providence. Kentucky has a 6 seed there. That's a very tough game for Kentucky, very tough draw for the first game. I think it's deserved, though, because Kentucky's a team that I was kind of wondering if they'd be a 7 seed after that quarterfinals loss in the SEC tournament to Vanderbilt. But they it looks like they sneaked into probably the worst 6 seed.
Yeah.
Probably around that range. So it makes sense that they got a tough 11 game, and every 6-11 game is going to be tough. You know, there's storylines in this game. Jacob Toppin, Bryce Hopkins match up there, two former teammates.
Yeah.
But I think Kentucky, they're very talented. It just depends how they shoot the ball. If they can defend well and rebound well, I think they can be anybody. They can be anybody on any given night. Sad part about it is they can also lose on any given night. They've proven that multiple times this season.
True.
Multiple times this season. So they're a team that if they can get hot, they could, I could see them making the Final Four national title type team. But it's going to be tough first round. With Providence, they're a very talented team. They've had their ups and downs this season. More downs recently for sure. A lot of people are kind of liking this matchup with Kentucky. I think they're overrating the fact that Bryce Hopkins is going to come out and drop 30 in a revenge game. It wasn't like I saw some Kentucky guy. I think his name is Kentucky Cavalry on TikTok. He was talking about it. And it's like Bryce Hopkins didn't play for Kentucky last year for the sole reason that he wasn't in shape. And, you know, the staff has said that it's not like he left Kentucky with any bad blood with them. It's not like he was mistreated. He was a power forward on the team that was starting junior, former five-star Keon Brooks and Jacob Toppin, who has probably been the team's best defender for the past 2 years. You know, it's hard to get play time there. It's hard to split up three talented guys with 25 minutes a game. So, you know, he transferred, did what's best for him. It's not like – I really don't think it's like a revenge game.
Right.
I think people are playing a little bit too much into that. And Providence this year has struggled against when they get out-rebounded. Kentucky's one of the best rebounding teams in the country with Oscar Tshiebwe. If Kentucky can rebound the ball at a high rate in this game, I think they can come away with the win. But, you know, Providence could definitely upset with how they are. I think Providence's ceiling is Sweet 16, Kentucky's national title, Final Four round. But both these teams are way too inconsistent for me to for sure say on both of them. Moving down to Kansas State, Kansas State's a great team. I think that they are tough for me to predict because they do have a very tough first-round matchup against Montana State. That's definitely something to watch there. I think they shouldn't have much trouble taking care of that game and moving on. But if they do play a game against Kentucky in the second round, that's kind of rematch from 2018. You know, John Calipari and I forget Kansas State's coach's name. They don't like each other. They just
Jerome Tang.
Yeah. Is he a newer coach?
Yeah, he's first year Jerome Tang.
Okay, so that's not a storyline anymore. I know in 2018 there's kind of beef between the two teams. But that'd be a nice round of 32 game. I could definitely see Kansas State making a Final Four run, though. They're a very talented squad.
I had them in the Final Four.
They're from the Big 12, which is big. They've played. I mean, anybody from the Big 12 can make a run this year. That conference.
So
they've played tough games on the road and tough environments, but I could definitely see Kansas State making a Final Four run.
I agree.
Michigan State. I'm going to give him a Final Four run at the most just because of the fact that Tom Izzo's coaching that team.
I'm going to bump it down to an Elite Eight
because I could definitely see them getting past Marquette. And then at that point, you're playing Kansas State or Kentucky, really, I think. So I just don't know. I could see them getting past one of them.
Right.
So... it'll be tough, but Izzo's just such a great coach. This is his month.
That's true.
So, yeah.
It's Very
USC, I don't see them getting past Michigan State, and if they do, I don't see them getting past Marquette, any chance there.
Yeah.
So I think they're definitely, you know, from the Pac-12 too, I think they're definitely round of 32 ceiling there. With Marquette, they are very talented.
I think Marquette's ceiling is definitely national title.
Marquette's Final Four national title around there. It's going to be just a tough region for all these teams to get out of.
That's but true.
For sure. And then moving on to the Midwest region, this is a very underrated region, especially for upsets. A lot of people look at this region. This Midwest region is definitely not mid at all. I think Houston's a very talented team. They're very scary. They have a lot of motive to get to the Final Four, not only just to, you know, make a run. The Final Four is in Houston. If they can get to the Final Four, I like them.
Yeah.
I like them a lot, playing at home. So Houston, I could definitely see them being a national title contender for sure around that range.
Yeah.
It's just the fact if they can string together consistency, they got a pretty good region for them. So, yeah. Then moving on to Iowa. Iowa and Auburn playing that 8-9 game. That's a very, very tough game for both teams. Iowa's a team that if they can shoot the ball very well all game, they can definitely win. But I think that's their only chance, really, is to be consistent with the shot. And I would take Auburn in this game. But both of these teams, I think their ceiling is round of 32. I really don't see either of these teams upsetting Houston in the round of 32. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think Houston's too good there.
Mm-hmm.
Then moving on to number 5 seed Miami. That Miami-Drake game is a very big game. You know, Miami, most of the season, if not all the season, at least until the tournament, was definitely the best team in the ACC.
Yeah.
So that's something to take account of. And they have great guard play. They struggle against bigs, which is something to worry about. But I don't think they run into too many teams in this region that – have very big, very great bigs down low. So I could see Miami definitely making around a Elite Eight run, I think. But I think they could run into some trouble in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Same thing with Drake. Drake has a very old rotation. I noted this earlier. So Drake is the second best defensive rebounding team. They've won 16 of their last 18 games. And their starting rotation is older than 5 NBA teams. They've made a lot of tournaments in the past. They have experience.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Drake making an Elite Eight run. In fact, I have them in the Elite Eight in my bracket. I think they upset Miami first round. That's going to be very tough.
See, Miami's big man is dinged up, and I don't know if he's going to play or not. But at the same time, I think their guard play
is definitely would carry them in that.
Yeah,
game.
I think their guard play is too good to not win a game in the tournament. That's the only reason I have Miami.
Yeah, but if Drake can get past them, I have Kent State over Indiana, and I think Drake could get over Kent State for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if Houston, if they're in a matchup with Houston, I wouldn't rule out a win over Houston.
See,
Houston's
and
a tough team to predict.
The IU-Kent State game is another one where I think IU's going to win, and then I had Miami over IU.
I don't know. I don't know. I want to kind of talk about Kent State there. Kent State has played a lot of talent this year. They've played with in very tight games against Houston, Gonzaga, and Charleston this year. They play amazing defense. IU has, you know, freshman guard play. Jalen Smith, Jalen Hood-Schifino. Hope I pronounced that right.
Schifino. Yeah.
He has played great lately. You know, Big Ten freshman of the year, I believe.
Right, he was.
And it's just he's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very inconsistent this year, IU has. They haven't really strung together big runs to convince me of them making a run. They definitely could, but Kent State has two great senior guards, two amazing senior guards. Something to note, Kent State didn't lose a home game this year. I mean, that's – you're not playing home games in March, but it's still impressive nonetheless.
Yeah, it is impressive.
But, I mean, in a matchup between a freshman – Hood-Schifino against two great senior guards. I might take the senior guards there. Kent State is 38th in KenPom for defensive rating. They force a lot of turnovers a game, lot of turnovers. And for freshman guards on IU, I could see 4 or 5 turnovers on Schifino if they're playing great defense. So
I think Schifino is just – he is playing so much – you know, better than, you know, what he was supposed to at this point in his career.
Yeah, for sure. He's playing amazing, and I'm not taking that away from him. It's just Kent State is just
I agree with you, but at the same time, I do have Indiana in that game. But I think if Indiana gets past the first two rounds, I believe, you know, gets to the Sweet 16, I think they are a legitimate Final Four contender.
Yeah, but getting out of that little pod there, that pod is very tough.
That's very true.
So IU, definitely, they have Final Four potential. Kent State, I think they're the same as Drake. They have Elite Eight potential. Mm-hmm. They could be one of those Cinderella teams. Moving down on to Iowa State. Iowa State, you know, another Big 12 team, has had their ups and downs this season. I believe it's been ranked in the top 10 at some point this season. I think they get past either Mississippi State or Pitt. I'm not too intrigued with either of those teams. And then you're moving on to the game probably against Xavier. I think Xavier, you know, they're tough, but I don't trust a lot of teams out of the Big East this year. I trust the Big 12 more. I could see Iowa State getting past them. So I could see Iowa State being around Sweet 16, Elite 8, definitely. So that'll be interesting to see. Mississippi State and Pitt, that both their ceilings are around a 32. If they can somehow get past Iowa State there, which I don't think they will, then they're probably not going to win another game.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier, they definitely have a tough bracket here, tough little pod here. If they get, they'll probably get past Kennesaw State, but that's not something to just overlook. Kennesaw State's still very solid, but Xavier's a great defensive team, so mm-hmm. I still see them getting past them there. But yeah, Xavier, they're going to have a tough game against Iowa State. If they move past that, they're most likely playing Texas, maybe Texas A&M or Penn State. Those are three still very tough teams. I think Xavier's, Elite Eight team at best. I don't know if I could see them making a Final Four run.
Possibly, but I'd say Elite Eight's probably, you know,
yeah,
the farthest they can go.
And then Texas A&M and Penn State, they both have the same ceiling for me. This is going to be a very interesting first-round matchup. They're both teams that are playing very good basketball right now. I think that Penn State's a team that needs to shoot the ball very well in order to win. Texas A&M has just had a great game against Vanderbilt in the mm-hmm. semis, got blown out in the SEC championship, unfortunately. But Texas A&M is playing good ball right now. I think they just beat Alabama at home pretty recently.
Yeah.
So I think the winner of that game will be – it's hard to tell for me. I keep going back and forth on if I want to pick A&M or Penn State.
Had Penn State.
I had Penn State too, but it's just A&M's still playing great ball right mm-hmm. now.
Penn State played really well in the Big Ten tournament. You know, again, one win away, one play away from, you know, winning the Big Ten tournament championship. So, again, I think Penn State is very underrated, and I – do think Penn State will get out of that game there.
Yeah, for sure. Penn State could definitely upset there. I think Texas A&M's a team that got a little underseeded. I think that there's an argument to be made. They should have been seeded over Kentucky, even though Kentucky had that head-to-head win on the road. That's probably why they didn't get seeded ahead of them. I think Texas A&M definitely had a better season than Kentucky there. So if if Kentucky was the seventh seed here, I'd pick Kentucky probably. But, you know, it's definitely going to be an interesting matchup between them and Penn State. Moving down on to Texas. Texas is definitely a national title contender team. They just beat Kansas in the Big 12 championship. Very impressive one there. They're playing great ball right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot overlook that first-round matchup against Colgate. I want to talk about that a little bit. Colgate has great three-point shooters. This is their third year in the row in the tourney. They have four seniors in the rotation. They have two guys over 6'10" that shoot 40% from three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big, and that's something that you can't take away. I mean, Colgate's been a team in the past that was almost upsetted pretty recently. I think even though it's a 15-2 game, I wouldn't rule out Colgate over Texas. I just think Texas is probably too good right now, playing too good.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Texas being a national title contender team. Mm-hmm.
No, I totally agree. I think Texas is playing their best basketball right now. Yeah.
And then with Colgate, though, I could definitely see a Sweet 16 run, a little Cinderella run.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so with Colgate.
I don't think so, but if they get past Texas at that point, then it's, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
we've seen more. I'm picking more 15 seeds now than I ever have. We've seen mm-hmm. them more recently. You saw Oral Roberts, St. Peter's. I mean, you see these 15 seeds competing with the twos, so,
mm-hmm.
so you can't rule out anything.
That's true, yeah.
Then Kansas. Kansas is definitely not a national title contender team.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much to be said about them. They're a great squad. Arkansas and Illinois is going to be definitely a very interesting first-round matchup.
I think both their ceilings is around a 32, though.
I don't know. Both their ceilings, for me, just because they play Kansas probably, but I wouldn't rule out a run by either of these teams if they somehow get past Kansas. Arkansas's guard play is very good.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I could have them getting pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
Then St. Mary's VCU. I've never been high on St. Mary's in the tournament. They're always solid. They're always good. They're right behind Gonzaga in that conference. But it's just like, I don't know. It's hard to pick St. Mary's for me. I think they won last year against IU in the round of 64. But this year they're going against a tough VCU squad who's played with everybody this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have VCU winning this game in the 12-5 game. But I think St. Mary's ceiling is Sweet 16.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Probably same thing with VCU for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on to UConn-Iona. First of all, Iona shouldn't be this high. They should not be a 13 seed. Probably be around a 15, in my opinion. They're not a good squad. UConn should win this easily. But UConn's a team that's playing very good right now, very good basketball at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see UConn being a national title contender for sure.
Yeah, maybe.
To the national title. I think I had them to the national title playing Kentucky, but that's kind of just my own bracket there. I know how realistic that is. But, you know, they're a team that they could, if they get past Kansas, I'm taking them in this bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But this West bracket is insanely difficult. You have Kansas, UCLA, Gonzaga, UConn, TCU even as a 6 seed there. So this is a very, very tough bracket.
Yeah.
Speaking of TCU, TCU has at times this season looked like a top 10 team in the nation. At other times, they've looked not great at all.
Yeah.
They have wins against Texas, wins against Kansas, wins against Baylor. Two wins against Kansas State, a win against West Virginia, win against Iowa, and a win against Providence. So they have had their wins this season for sure.
Yeah.
But they've also had a lot of bad losses.
No, yeah, you're
That's
right.
The reason why they're a 6 seed. But I could definitely see them being around an Elite 8 team.
Yeah.
I think they could probably get past Gonzaga and UCLA. But moving down to Gonzaga, Gonzaga is a team we've talked before on this podcast about. You know, Gonzaga is a team that, you know, they have one of the best college basketball players of all time in Drew Timmy. And they have a great coach in Mark Few. They're experienced. They're not under the same spotlight they've been on in the past. They're a 3 seed. So I could definitely see Gonzaga going far, see them being a Final Four team. But Grand Canyon's a very tough first round game to play
there.
Then Northwestern and Boise State, these are two teams that don't, you know, pop off the paper to me.
I think both of those teams could make a potential run.
I could see them making a run, but I don't see them getting past UCLA.
Well, UCLA's injury, they lost one of their best players.
Yeah, that is true. I want to talk about UCLA. That first round matchup against UNC Asheville, I'm very tempted in a lot of my serious brackets to pick UNC Asheville. That could be something that can win me a bracket.
That's true.
UNC Asheville is a very good squad. They shoot the ball very, very well, like incredibly, incredibly well. I would like them in that upset there. I think that their team, I believe 46% of their shots are 3-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
So if they shoot the ball well, I wouldn't rule out an upset.
Right.
You know, I mean, their top win this year is probably beating UCF on the road by 3. Nothing that like is too crazy, but I could see that. I could definitely see it for sure. But yeah. UCLA with them, with their injury, I really only see an Elite 8 for them. I could see the Final Four, probably Final Four's their ceiling, but I don't know if they make it out of this West region with that injury, probably their best defensive player going down. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see, but we'll be here to cover it.
Yeah, and then we have the two play-in games tonight.
We have two play-in games tonight, two tomorrow, and then the games start Thursday and Friday.
So the play-in games tonight is Southeast Missouri State versus Texas A&M CC. This game, again, I really don't know anything about either team. Again, they're just playing in for the tournament, to be in the tournament. So, again, if I had to pick, I guess I'd pick Texas A&M CC. And then the other big game tonight, the better game of the two, is Pitt and Mississippi State. I think this will be a very interesting game because I think both teams are around the – I think they're both pretty solid. I could see this game, you know, going to potential overtime. And I guess I would pick Mississippi State just because I think they're playing the tougher conference and have had the tougher games this season. But, again, this is one, you know, where it's up in the air. I personally would have put Rutgers over both of these teams, but that's just me. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Would have liked to see Rutgers return to the play-in, too. I mean, they really showed out last year. Had provided a very good game last year against Notre Dame. So, but the play-in games are always pretty entertaining. I wouldn't rule out a run from any of these play-in teams. I think they're weaker, though, than they have been in the past. So, but, yeah. Anyways, it was a pretty good episode, pretty good podcast on the Playbook Podcast. We'll be here each day of the week to cover March Madness, probably the best time of the year. Probably this whole month we'll be covering it.
Yeah.
Every single day. You can catch us our other podcasts. You can go to Spotify or SoundBoom.com, AudioBoom.com, and look up the Playbook Podcast. You can catch us on our live radio show every Thursday from 9:15 a.m. to 10 a.m., Anyways, everybody have an amazing day. We're signing out from Mid News Studios.